You're listening to the Salty Saints Podcast with Will and Angela Williams, a podcast meant to motivate you, encourage you, and sometimes convict you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in your faith, and stand firm to the end. Here are the Salty Saints.
Hey guys, today we're going to be talking about perseverance. And what brought on this topic idea for us was that Will and I were at our local park earlier, and we have started a 5K running training program. And today started our third week in it. So our time that we run is steadily increasing each week. And after we finished the run today, we were talking and we said that, you know, we always tend to slack off on any kind of physical fitness routine whenever the winter months hit, because neither one of us like the cold at all. And so usually we kind of, you know, fall away from whatever we're doing in the year up to that point, around the holiday season, which is the worst time that you can quit anything physical fitness wise, because, you know, holidays bring on all the good food, which brings on usually a little bit of weight gain, and then you fight the whole rest of the year trying to get it back off, or at least that's our crazy cycle. So anyway, we were talking about that we want to really keep up this momentum that we're building, because we know how hard it is to get back into it once we have been off of it for a while. And so that kind of spurred us into a conversation about the spiritual side of, you know, persevering and keeping your momentum up once you have begun a good solid self-discipline in the spiritual realm. So like spending more time with the Lord, you know, spending more time in your Bible, spending more time in prayer, pressing into God more, all of these kind of things, rather than having a time where you slack back and find yourself, you know, building distance between yourself and the Lord. You want to keep those disciplines in practice. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And Will has some scriptures that he wants to expound on. So we'll let him go ahead and get into that.
Hey guys, just a few scriptures that I just want to read and just talk about a few minutes. You know, God's word is the most important thing. You know, when we do our podcast, we want to make sure that we talk about God's word and how his word can apply to our life. And today is 1 Timothy 4, verse 8 says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So when we look at this verse and we look at what Paul is writing Timothy, he is, you know, he doesn't say that physical fitness is bad. But one thing that we got to remember is that the physical fitness aspect of it, we need to stay active so that we can do the work of God. When we tend to throw that part out, we tend to get overweight. And when you get overweight, you typically get lazy. Not, you know, just because you just start, you don't have enough energy to do the things that you really want to do. So we've always been active in our marriage. We've gone through ups and downs of things, but we've always stayed active to where we could, where we can actually go out and do the work that the Lord wants us to do. Yeah, you know, you don't have to be, you know, a professional athlete, but you do, I believe, you need to have some sort of a good physical fitness program in your life that you're comfortable with, that you can do and you like to do.
Yeah, we've always maintained at least a walking plan, I would say. That's been the thing that we've stayed most consistent with in the 16 years that we've been together. We've definitely had our ups and downs on, you know, times where we did get lazy, or we did, you know, just kind of slack back on the physical fitness side. And that's actually, you know, where we find ourselves right now, is that we have started up this plan because we found ourselves just getting to a place where we're out of shape, honestly. And so, you know, it was just something that we decided to do to try to get ourselves back in shape again. This is kind of just a struggle for us because we both like to eat. So just being honest, I mean, that's something that we like to do. We go on date nights and, you know, we eat out. And right now we're just about complete empty nesters. So, I mean, that's just something that we enjoy to do with each other. So anyway, we're just trying to make some, you know, some small changes here and there. There have been times in our past, both of us, where body image and food and things like that were an idol. So it's all, you have to keep it all in a healthy balance. You don't want to be on one extreme or the other. You just want to be, you know, like Will said, we want to be fit for the work that God has for us.
Yeah, we don't want to be constantly going to the doctor. I mean, I'm 47 now, so, you know, I've tried to maintain myself throughout these years. I've practiced martial arts my whole life, and to try to stay, you know, physically fit to best I can. But then when we got saved, the biggest thing that we, you know, a lot of things that we would do for the kingdom, this is not the first time we've set up something in parks. We've actually went to one of our bigger cities and we put a backpack on and we walked up and down the main strip and prayed with people, giving out Bibles, giving out tracts, giving out water. And we walked probably 6 or 7 miles on that particular day. And, you know, to do that, you have to stay somewhat physically fit. And it helps you to, you know, you don't think about the exercise when you're out doing stuff like that, when you're actually engaging with people. So, but
side note real quick, we had not said yet that we did that. So he jumped ahead. That's something that we did today is that, after our run, we set up, a table. We set up a table at the park, near the road where, you know, it's busy, like where all the traffic would go by and see us. And we've got a sign that we had made, a while back that says the church meets here, join us, all are welcome. And so we put that, and we have a radio that we bought that, you know, we play worship music on, and we've got Bibles that we can give out in case someone doesn't have a Bible. We've got tracts, we've got little cards that we had made that has, how they can get in contact with us, tells them our blog site and our podcast information so that they can follow us. So we did all of that, and we had a time of really awesome worship and prayer and, you know, just really good conversation between us and the Lord, just asking him to send people our way and, you know, telling him that we're ready and available and willing to do his work for the kingdom.
So, I didn't mean to jump ahead, but that's what I do. But, one of the things that I want to talk about on this verse is, yes, it's good for the physical training. I was trying to get to the point of training for godliness. And to do that, you have to be steadfast in your time with the Lord. We can't just think that we're going to be godly. And what does that even mean? You know, to be godly is to look like Christ. And the way that we can be godly and to look like Jesus is to honor God in our life. When you honor God in your life, you're going to be what Jesus says is to be holy. You know, he says to be holy for I am holy. And he means it. That's not just a cliche. That's not, he's just saying it and we don't have to do it. He wants us to grow in him. That's the reason why the Holy Spirit was sent to us. And the Holy Spirit is the key. We cannot do this. We cannot go out and serve the Lord in any capacity, no matter what it is, whenever you're dealing with the public, because that's where we need to be. When you're dealing with people, especially if you don't know who they are, if they're unbelievers or even if they claim to be believers, it's uncomfortable a lot of times is just when you share your faith, talk to them about the Bible or about the Lord. And also, praying with people, praying out loud with people, that we're called to do that. In fact, we're called to what? Let's see, let's name some attributes or some characteristics of a disciple. One, you evangelize. Mm-hmm. What's another one?
Mark 16 says that we're called to cast out demons.
Cast out demons. Y'all stay with us now. I mean, don't stop. We are called to do that. That's a real thing. That's not, we're not looking at movies the way they do it in the movies, but I mean, Jesus did it and he expects us to do it. And it is a powerful ministry.
And it says to heal the sick.
Heal
Lay
the
your
sick.
Hands on them.
God is sovereign in healing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody, we're all called to be that to some degree. We're all called to pray for healing when God puts us in that situation. He's sovereign over that. If they get healed or not get healed, he is sovereign in that, that he does the healing. We
yes.
don't.
Amen.
So, and we're also called to make disciples, right?
Yep.
To make the disciple is to teach them these things. That means we must learn to read our Bible and teach others to read their Bible.
So, pray for people.
Pray for people in general.
Yeah.
There's many things that we need to do. We need to learn to love the unlovable.
Yeah.
So we have to be out in the world to love the unlovable. How can we love the way Jesus loves when we're only around people that we can love? I mean, think about that. That's a profound statement right there. If you're only around people that you like, and you're only around people that is
like you back,
how can you ever love the unlovable? I tell you what, it's a hard thing to do. We've been around a lot of homeless. I have a big ministry to the homeless when I'm out and about. I usually talk at least once a week. I'm in dealing with the homeless. And the homeless are hard to deal with in America because a lot of them are, they choose to be homeless. A lot of them do. Now, there's some that don't. But there's a lot of them that choose that lifestyle because it's an easier lifestyle. But there's a lot of them, majority of them are in that lifestyle because of addiction. And we have to learn to be around people that are addicted to drugs, addicted to whatever they're addicted, if they're alcoholics, if they're drug addicts, or whatever it might be. We have to learn to be around those kind of people. And then, you know, you have to have good discernment. You have to learn to know what if someone's trying to play you or not play you, those kind of things. But we, for us to be a disciple and for us to go out and do the work that Jesus said for us to pick up, and we're supposed to continue his ministry. And so one of the big things that we need to do is just be out in the world. Just make sure that you can be approachable to where people can come up to you, or when you come up to someone else, that we can actually have conversations and actually love on people. And that's what our goal was today, was just to go out and just make an appearance to people, to make a statement and saying that the church is here. The church is not a building. A church is the people. And that's what our ministry is
about.
And
that everyone is welcome.
Yes. We want people to know that, I mean, this is the thing. You know, you don't clean yourself up to come to Jesus. Jesus does the cleaning. I love that little old phrase. It's usually I heard this from a lot of older saints out there that say, and it's usually in a country setting because a lot of people that fish and hunt and all that. But, you know, whenever you go fishing, when we go fishing for men, we fish for them, we catch them, and then Jesus cleans them. And that's what we have to do. We got to catch them. We got to go and find a fishing hole and catch the fish. And Jesus does the cleaning. And we need to make sure that the Holy Spirit is in the middle of it. If the Holy Spirit is not in the middle of it, then we're doing it in our flesh. And we're going to fail at it every time.
Yep. And that was part of our prayer that we prayed while we were out there was, you know, that the Lord would just work in this and that he would send the people to us and that he would give us the, excuse me, the courage and the boldness that we would need. And just that the Holy Spirit would speak through us, that we'd just be a willing vessel. Because like Will said, you know, if we're doing this in our flesh, we're not going to want to do it. We're going to want to get in the car and leave because it feels uncomfortable. But a verse that goes right along with that is 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show his grace through Christ Jesus and through him. So we've been saved to be set free and to live a holy life. So that goes back to what Will was saying about godliness. And if y'all want to hear more about that, we did, I think 2 podcasts ago, we talked about living a godly life in an ungodly world. So we went more in detail in that one. So we're not going to go over that again. But we need to understand as followers of Christ that we have been called for a great purpose. We have been called to be a city on a hill, to let our light shine before men, that they would see our good deeds and glorify our Father who is in heaven. So it's super important, the witness and our testimony that we have out in this dark world, that is one of the biggest keys to drawing other people to Christ and to the gospel. But we have to be showing love. We have to be showing that our faith is real and that it propels us to live differently. Because if we look just like the world, why would they want to come to us? They see the world all day long, 24/7, 365. It slaps them in the face every time they walk out of their house and when they go back in their house. I mean, it's constantly around them. They need the hope and the light of Christ, and we have it. So we're called to share it.
We have to make sure, because this is the most dangerous part of present day Christianity, is that we want to mix the world with Jesus, and Jesus was not part of the world. In fact, he had to come from his heavenly abode. He had to come down to this dark world to love us and to save us. And then he ascended back to heaven. So he never adopted this world. He always stayed. He had to stay the way he came, was holy. He never, you know, when you read scripture, it says that the angels was singing holy, holy, holy. Jesus never left that. He never came down to earth and changed.
He sat with the sinners, but he changed them.
That's right. So you had to understand this, that when we get saved, we do not adopt the world standard. We can't. You cannot adopt the world to reach the world. The gospel is powerful enough to reach anybody in the world, no matter the culture they're in. The gospel reached Muslims in some of the most remote Muslim countries that has no Christians in there that we know of, but yet Jesus is visiting some of these Muslims in dreams and saving them. And they're coming out of Islam. He's a big God. And so we don't have to adopt the world to reach people. I mean, the gospel is big enough. The Holy Spirit, that's why the Holy Spirit has to be involved. The Spirit-filled believer has to go out to share the gospel and to be bold in a dark world, to be that light that shines brightly. When you shine brightly, you're going to be noticed. You're going to be noticed. And so that right there scares a lot of people, especially ones that are introverts, right? People that don't want to be noticed. But see, God didn't. He saved you out of that.
That's right. And I am an introvert, and I can attest to that he makes all things new when he saves us. It doesn't matter what our previous personality or tendencies are, he changes us. He gives us that boldness because we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us and empowers us to overcome that fear and that timidity. What did we just read in that previous verse? That God doesn't give us those spirits. That is from, you know, our enemy. that tries to keep us from going out and being the salt and light that we're called to be.
And so when you look at who we are the house of God.
Yes.
I'm not dogging on churches. What I'm saying is that we get comfortable in that environment because it's a safe environment to be a Christian. It's not safe to be a Christian when you go to work or when you're in college or in high school or wherever you're at in the world. It's not, you know, especially if you live in a place that where Christians are not looked upon as, you know, who they want, what people want to be. They're usually looked upon as, look at those, you know, crazy Christians. If you're living your faith out, if someone doesn't know that you're, if someone does not know if you're a Christian or not, there's a problem. If you're only Christian when you go to church and you're not, and you don't show your faith or live your faith out outside those four walls, then there's a huge, huge problem that you need to examine yourself with, because Christianity is not a private faith. It is a public faith. You need to realize you're supposed to look like Jesus. To look like Jesus, Jesus did everything in public. The only time that we saw Jesus pull away is when he went by himself and he prayed to the Father because he had to recharge.
And we need to look like that too. We do need to get away by ourselves, and we need to recharge with the Holy Spirit's power, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to go out and be bold in our faith.
Yes, because when you look at what how Jesus, think about this publicly. He preached publicly. He healed publicly. He cast out demons publicly. What did he do? He proclaimed the good news, and yet he was hated publicly.
And called people to repent.
He called people to repent. And then the most important thing is that he died publicly and then rose again publicly. So everything that he did in his ministry was not associated in four walls. They were outside the four walls. And that's our goal, is to help Christians. Even if you attend a church, we're not saying don't attend that church. We're saying let us help you to get outside those four walls and walk in your faith boldly. I mean, when was the last time you prayed for somebody in the, you know, at a gas station? When was the last time that you, you know, you shared the gospel, you know, actually sharing the gospel to somebody? I mean, these are things you should think about. If it's been a long time since you, or you've never done it and you've been in your faith for a good while, then you need to step back and ask yourself why. Because when you read the Bible, you read, you everything is done in a public setting. The only thing that's done is when you meet in fellowship, you meet in fellowship with other believers to recharge, to encourage one another, to cheer each other on, or cry with one another if there need be, or laugh with one another.
Yeah, those are one
you care. Yes, and those, that is why we meet. That's not Christianity.
Well, it's
per
just
se.
Like it's just like getting away by yourself with the Father for prayer time. You know, all of these things are awesome tools and gifts that he has given us to be able to recharge.
And we have to be able to recharge. To recharge, the reason why you need to be recharged is to actually go out and do this stuff. And we are encouraging people to go out and do it. Go out and don't just tell people you're a Christian. Show them. Show them. I have another verse I like to read. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house, if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ." So we need to understand what this verse is saying, is that we are the house of God. We meet together wherever we meet, but we are the house of God. We are the church. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and we actually called what we were doing out there today Church Without Walls. So we thought that's awesome because, you know, Jesus said, "Where two or three gather, I am there with you." So, I mean, just having him with us, we had, you know, a really awesome, powerful time of prayer and worship. And, I mean, we have these times with him all the time, very regularly, and that counts. So just, you know, to let y'all know that, that's, that is still considered fellowship. That is still considered church because we are the church. We don't have to go to a church. We are the church. The church goes everywhere that we go.
And when you have that lifestyle, it's a lifestyle of being the church. A lot of times people say, well, who is your head? Well, I mean,
Jesus
is our head. We forget that a lot of times because, and like I said, I'm not dogging church. I do not want you to think that. But what I'm saying is that when we read in the Bible, we need to have an understanding that we are called to be Jesus' ambassador. We're the ambassador of Christ. And to be the ambassador of Christ means that we represent him 24/7, 365. And to witness to somebody is not to tell them about your church or your pastor. To witness to somebody is to give them the good news
about Jesus.
And the only way, and if you've never been trained to do that, then there is a big problem. And we have a big problem in America with this because no one is really trained to share their faith. No one's trained to pray for others outside the four walls.
No one's trained to be a disciple or make disciples.
There's people that's been in the faith for 20, 30 years that's never made a disciple. Their idea of making a disciple is pointing them to a class that's in their church. And a discipleship is not a class. It is actually walking with another Christian, and they are teaching you how to walk in your faith. They teach you how to pray. They teach you how to evangelize. Because the way they teach you is they show you. Mm-hmm. They show it. If your pastor has never shown you how to do this stuff, so this is the thing. If someone's never shown you this, then there's a problem. That pastor needs, that's the duty of the pastor is to protect you. How does he protect you? He teaches you how to walk in your faith and points you to Jesus. And then Jesus is the good shepherd.
And he's supposed to prepare you to stand firm in your faith when hard times come. So that's another thing, is that we have a lot of professing Christians out there who are not ready in their faith to weather the storm of the hard times that are going to be coming before we know it. So it's just dangerous. And just, you know, as Will said, to kind of expound on, we have plenty of people in our life that we are accountable to, that we, you know, have relationships with, where we spur one another on to good works, and we get that refilling and that recharging that we need. And we also offer that for lots of people. And so, you know, that's the whole reason behind our ministry, is that we want to equip the saints to be the salt and light in this dark world, in these dark days. So I think that, did you have any more verses?
No, that's it. Just remember that, you know, we need to remain confident. We need to remain confident. And the only way that we can remain confident is being confident in the one who saved us, and that mm-hmm. he put his spirit in us. And we see the Holy Spirit a lot of times scares people, and we don't need to let the Holy Spirit scare us. He's the one who convicts us. He's the one that comforts. He is the one that teaches us. So we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And when you omit him, then you're doing most of the stuff you're doing is in the flesh.
Yeah.
And we can't do it in the flesh, because then pride will step in, and you will, because you're thinking you're doing it, and it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit prompting you, and we give him glory and honor. He's God. Mm-hmm. So,
and we know this because we've gone through these things. We've gone through different theologies and doctrines and studies and movements and all of these kind of things in our walk. And I know as our podcast, you know, as we're on here longer and longer, we'll tell y'all some of the stories of the things that we've experienced. But anything that we talk about, y'all have to understand that we are coming from a place of humility, a place of learning. You know, we have already gone through so many different things, you'd be amazed to hear. And hopefully you'll stick around to hear about.
Thanks so much for listening in to the podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can listen to our previous shows and read our blog post at www.saltysaints.blog.